It's Divas That Care Radio, stories, strategies, and ideas to inspire positive change. Welcome to Divas That Care, a network of women committed to making our world a better place for everyone. This is a global movement for women, by women, engaged in a collaborative effort to create a better world for future generations. To find out more about the movement, visit divasthatcare.com after the show. Right now, though, stay tuned for another jolt of inspiration.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Divas That Care. My name is Candace Gish. If this is your very first time tuning in, a huge welcome to you. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We've been doing this now for 14 years. We're listening to in over 30 countries around the world, and we have so many amazing guests. We have amazing hosts on the Divas That Care Network. And we're so happy that we're able to do this. It's been just a pleasure. All right, I'm so excited to be introducing our past diva on our show. We're welcoming her back. She's got some great things that she's going to be sharing with us. Her name is Victoria Lauer. And Victoria, welcome back to the Divas.
Hi, thank you, Candace. So glad to be back. I was on your first show of this 14th season.
And now we're Isn't that amazing? I said that. I just love it. I'm so glad that you're back because you have so many things that you're going to be sharing with us today. And it's exciting. It's exciting to be able to be a part of somebody's journey and what they're doing. And Victoria, you've got a lot of things going on in your life. And I just want to congratulate you to your newest member of your family.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a journey. My very first grandchild was born a week ago. It's been a saga, but she's doing great now. She had some health issues for sure. But, man, we are looking at her. I see her and I see a miracle. She was born with all Apgar scores of zero. But she is just perfect now. And we are so lucky. So, so lucky.
Oh, what a blessing. Oh, that is so amazing. I'm so happy about that. All right. Well, Victoria, would you mind introducing yourself to our new listeners today?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So I had a live talk show myself at one point. And to be honest, that was the funnest job that I ever had. I really enjoyed hosting that. That was it was a live talk show on cable news network. We basically did it from the Shelby County Fairgrounds and hosted all kinds of different people and different things in the community. Really fun. They actually offered me ownership of that station. I ended up making a choice to go to either that or I got offered a position in the Chamber of Commerce. I ended up taking that because I had been Mrs. Ohio that year in 2001. And it did seem like a lot of advertising dollars were getting cut after 9/11. That's what I noticed. So that was a big reason for me to choose going to the Chamber of Commerce Management direction. Stayed in that for a number of years and left it in like 14 years ago because this gnawing feeling that I wanted to write and talk about emotions was just there in the back of my mind all the time. So I took the big plunge. Now this book that I just released a couple weeks ago, Polly Parker, Meet Their Shadow, is my fourth book, including one that I did with Jack Canfield of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series.
I think that's absolutely amazing. And let's talk a little bit about your book. There's some other things I want to chat with you today, but I want to know, what is this about and why was it important to write this version, like this children's book? I just absolutely think it's brilliant.
It is a really unique concept. Interestingly, I had a knowing, you know, sometimes you just know things and then you just kind of slough that off and put it in the back of your mind. But coincidentally, when I was 14, which is the same age that the character Polly Parker is at the beginning of the story, I had a knowing that I was going to write this book someday. But I really didn't know what it was going to be about, and here we are, and it's just been so much fun to write it. It starts on Polly Parker's 14th birthday because that's the age in this world where you can choose to see your shadow if you want to. And I know that's kind of throwing a big word out there, the shadow, and some people are familiar with it and a lot of people aren't. But we all have a shadow side. Freud talked about it. He basically called it the id, and that is where unconscious things, mostly unconscious things, are stored. For example, let's say that you had a hurt feeling. Somebody said something to you. This is the, I'm probably expanding beyond Freud's definition, but my definition in the book includes all these things. Hurt feelings. Say that you have unresolved anger, something that really irritated you, and you, anger in itself is not a negative emotion. Sometimes we correlate ones that are not positive, love and joy, as negative, and we shouldn't have them. I would say that's not true. Anger is a very important emotion, but harboring this emotion for a long time is detrimental to yourself. You know, that having the skills to resolve it, understand why the anger is there, what the anger is telling you, because it's not there for no reason. It's trying to tell you something. There's something in yourself you need to identify, learn. It could be anything. And that would be resolving it. So if it's unresolved, it stays as this burning fire in your soul that's stored in the shadow. All these kinds of things are stored in the shadow. Lost memories, lost abilities, even I would say that, abilities that we're still developing, or abilities, I should say, that are blocked because of an emotional block or trauma, something that prevents us. That's what the shadow does. I think it lowers our energy, and with blocked emotions and all the other blocks in there, it will kind of prevent us from discovering all the things that are great about ourselves. So it's
Victoria,
really, really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And how important is it to have books like this for children? Because it's not something you read a lot about. Like, a lot of kids' books are not like this.
No, not at all. And I'm really hoping, I know it's, you know, shadow, what is that about? And there's different movies that put a different spin on what the shadow might be, and all those things play in our awareness of what it is. But it's a real thing, and yeah, we really don't talk about it at all. And how important to me, obviously I'm a big fan of emotions and understanding those, but to me, so it's everything. Emotions are our superpower. And scientifically, that cannot be argued with either, because anything that you put emotion behind, it is much more likely to happen. If you're trying to manifest something, Joe Dispenza has done a lifetime of work on this subject. People are healing their lifelong illnesses just from being able to feel the emotion of feeling well. And it can heal your body, it can heal your mind. It's really quite miraculous. It's taking us into the realm of the metaphysical. But to me, why wouldn't we understand everything that we can understand? And if people are having these kind of results, that is something for us to know, for us to understand, and we would want to pass the very best knowledge that we have to our children, you know, and a lot of us we're all adults still just learning this ourselves right now.
Well, I think it's brilliant to start this at a young age so that there's a better understanding and having children be more aware, and then they can have almost a better upbringing, I guess, because they're more in tune with things. I think a lot of kids are very sensitive and empathetic, and if we're able to help them through that, I think it's a great thing to do.
Yes, for sure. I mean, on a big historical lens picture, for the survival of the species, you can and must pass down the very best knowledge that you have to each successive generation. If each generation is smarter than the next, you know, that's probably the way it should be, you know.
Yeah.
Not that you want to really teenagers that, but But we want to pass the very best of what we have to our children for the survival of species, just on that level, and because we love our children and we want to give them the very best, and for ourselves as well. You know, why wouldn't, if we had the ability to picture something, feel the emotion of something that we want, and then actually bring that about in our lives. I mean, that's a superpower. So,
it is, goodness, isn't it? Yes.
For that.
Well, Victoria, can you tell us a little bit about what the book is about so that our listeners can go have a feeling for it and they can go and grab a copy of it?
Well, I hope they do, because, you know, it really is an important book, but let me paint a visual for you. Imagine all these emotional things that a lot of them are painful. Also includes, you know, like I said, lost memories and ego, all that kind of stuff is wrapped up in a shadow. If you could pull that shadow out of your body where you could physically see it next to you, as if it were a shadow that you would see outside on a sunny day, you can't really touch it or feel it densely, can see it. In this world of Polly Parker's story, there are three factions of people. There are the seers, the shadow dodgers, and the free thinkers. Polly is a seer, and her family, her grandparents actually invented the seer technology, where you can separate the shadow out where you see it, because they understood that things that you can see are much more easily understood. And that was the logic behind it. And it proved to be true in their world. And then there's the shadow dodgers, of the three groups. Polly's the seer. And they're kind of the breakaway faction. The shadow dodgers are the largest proportion of people in the population, and they choose not to see the shadow out of fear or maybe complacency, just not getting involved, whatever, but that's the majority of people. And then there's the third small group of people I mentioned, the free thinkers. They use money and power to manipulate. And the sacred knowledge is the six secrets that are used to unlock the mysteries of the shadow. And this is sacred ancient knowledge that they wish from the seers. So there's a battle set up between these groups of people. And Polly, she chooses to see her shadow. It's obviously huge in her family. Her grandparents invented the technology. And the students all go to a school by the name of Higher Realm. And it's up in the mountains. It's beautiful. It's built into nature. And this is where they have the opportunity to discover the six secrets. No one can tell you the six secrets, because they are only found when the seer is ready to find. So at the school, they have the opportunity, because the school teaches them. And in this whole system, and this whole world, I should say, there's a new educational system as well. Courses that they learn at this school are named things like internal recognition, positive and negative energy, and empathy, solar studies. These are the kind of things that are more compulsory courses in this new educational system, which throughout the course of the book is laid out. And it really coincides. It's done on a fictional level, but if you take a look at it, it really coincides with lots of things that are scientifically accurate in our world. For example, we know that children between the ages of 0 and 7, that's when their firmest foundation of life is set. That's when the most neurotransmitters in their brain, those little synapses, are making their connections. Mm-hmm. So those first 7 years of life are really, really important for setting the stage for the rest of life. And in this new educational system, it's encouraged that the parents become reintegrated and they teach their children at home so that they can better control the outside influences that will be developing their children. So children don't even start school until age 7 in this new fictional educational system.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it, in a way?
It does.
If you're trying to control the influences that could alter this very impressionable mind. I mean, I remember it from when my kids were little, and I thought I was doing them such a favor because they all went to preschool. They started school at age 3. You know, I really thought I was giving them the edge to get that extra few years of training. But I remember things that happened, and not necessarily at the school, but, you know, say in the car we were listening to a song, and it's an upbeat, happy song, and we'd always be driving along and singing at the top of our lungs to the song, and then all of a sudden there's all these curse words and there's content, more so, that you don't want them to be thinking about yet at age 3, 4, and 5. It's like, well, that happened. I can't take that back now. It's in their brains now. And that was even, you know, with me being the one monitoring them. But, you know, in this focused way, if you were really monitoring all the influences that affected your child from 0 to 7, those are prime years. So that's why it's set up that way. And then they go to exploration school from 7 to until they turn 14. And that's all about exploring your natural skills. So there's compulsory courses, like I mentioned, but it's very much about exploring anything and everything that interests you so you just can find out what your aptitude is. Then if you get more then if you get more aligned with what your actual aptitude is, then you can have a deeper concentration study in that area. This is the way the system is. And then when everybody turns 14, regardless of, you know, how they're scored on this, on scored on that, because scoring does not happen. There are no grade scores. When they turn 14, they go to reintegration school and they continue exploring their aptitudes. And if they chose to do see their shadow, then they have the opportunity to learn the 6 master skills. But that's where it gets really conflicting, because we have the free thinkers and the shadow dodgers. They're all able to go to the same school. And the free thinkers very much try to block the seers from having any success. And
I love this. This is really, it sounds like a really fun book to read, honestly. Like, I think that this would be, what I should ask you, what ages is it designed for?
Designed for upper middle grade teens in particular. So the main character turning 14, it would probably be primarily the sweet spot would be age group 12 to 16. I've had a lot of adults reading the book too, and they're really liking it as well. But it is a young adult book in the genre of magical realism, which is fiction, meaning that there's one quality in the book that you have to suspend your disbelief on, namely the fact that they can actually see their shadow. And then the rest of the story is actually pretty realistic.
Wow.
So if you suspend disbelief over that one, you know, real fantastical element, then there's a lot of inspirational stuff that is realistic. So yeah, it's really, really fun. The setting is beautiful. There's a lot of nature in this future world, but there's also a lot of technology. And technology serves us. It doesn't take over. And that's also a big debate, I know, in our culture right now with so much more AI, artificial intelligence being inserted in our life here and there. It's been big for us as writers because all of a sudden we have these programs that can write full books.
Yes, it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, how do we incorporate that in our world? So in this future world, there's lots of technology, but it definitely serves us. We don't serve it in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah. I think this is going to be a great book, Victoria, for these young listeners to check out. And I'm going to ask you, how can they go and get a copy of this book?
Quite simply, my website, Victoria Lowry, that's LOWERY, VictoriaLowry.com. There's links there. That's easy. Also, if you just want to search for the title on any of the major online book retailers that you use, Goodreads or Barnes & Noble, Amazon, it's on all those. Your bookstore may or may not have it. But if you go to a brick and mortar bookstore, but if you tell them, they will be able to get it.
That is fantastic. This has been it's gone by so quickly, Victoria. And that's what our shows, I'm finding that we do. We talk and it just goes by so quickly. I want to ask you, what is next on your plate? You know, this was a big, adventure for you. You've got all these amazing books out there, but do you have something else happening in the near future?
Well, there will be a sequel. There will be a sequel to this story. It's already halfway in the works now. So it'll probably be another year or so before that comes out. But what I would optimistically like to see, and I'm already working on this, I've been going to some middle schools and working with teens in my area quite a bit, and some of the schools around here use some of my work in their classroom. But these six master skills that are in the story, I would love to see those actually taught in our schools. To me, that's education, that's prime. You know, I know science, technology, engineering, math, the STEM courses have been considered core education. But to me, knowing emotion is equally as important. All of it's important.
If not more,
and
I'll be honest with you.
I know. Maybe we're a little partial, but...
Maybe.
Maybe, but... Yes, because if you, let's say, for example, you're a genius at math, but you have so much trauma in your life, or maybe you don't know, you've never been able to express your emotion, that's going to block your math skills or your technology skills. It all goes together. Or if your personal life is having a meltdown, it's going to affect your thinking life. They go together. All these things are not grit entities. They all mix together. They're all part of us. And so it all has to work together. So it, to me, is critically important. And just to give away a very small spoiler alert in the book, one of the six master skills is gratitude. And that'll give you an idea what the master skills are like.
Yeah.
It's a skill... because it's so much more than just being polite. You know, if especially small kids, you're always teaching them, they'll say thank you. It's so much more than being kind and saying thank you and appreciating things. Obviously, that's good. But gratitude is a superpower. As we've been talking about emotions being a superpower, if you are having a bad day, really get in a spiral funk, you know, it can happen to the best of us, then it just keeps spiraling sometimes. But if you sit down and start writing everything that you are grateful for, and so you can't write anything else. I am breathing. I have a warm house. I have a husband that loves me. I have a dog that loves me. I have friends. I had breakfast this morning. Just keep gratituding it out. By the end of that, you will shift your energy, and it will start bringing you out of the funk. On that, it's a tool just on an emotional healing level that's very useful. And on a metaphysical level then, going even further than that, what we think about, we get more of. And this we know. You know, we've always heard what you think about, you attract. And so if you are thinking gratitude and thinking in an abundant mindset, you are going to attract more abundance. To me, that is a very important power that everyone should know about. It's just like information that everyone should have. We should talk about these things from the time we were born. I mean, if someone knew, if an upper middle grade school person knew, a teenager knew that, boy, I'm having a bad day. There's lots of stuff to process when you're a teenager, let alone post-pandemic. But if they know that they have this tool, okay, I'm feeling a little off today. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to think about everything that I'm grateful for. That will help. And also knowing the fact that they can actually manifest into their life what they're thinking about. It takes a talent. It's like any kind of muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. And I think, I mean, I've just witnessed it even in my own life. The more that I practice this gratitude mindset, the more I visualize. Yes, it is. I mean,
every day.
A miracle.
And I like how you said that. It's a muscle, and it is. You have to do it every day, just like exercise, just like eating correctly. Yeah. It is about intentionally doing it, and I love that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Victoria. You and I have got to do this again, because there are so many topics that I think that we need to dive deeper into, and you know, just talking about your books is just the beginning. So please come back on the Divas That Care again soon.
I would love to, Candace. Thanks so much. Good talking to you.
It was amazing talking to you. And for all of our listeners, I'm actually going to be posting all of Victoria's social media on our links here, just so that you can go and click on that. This book is absolutely amazing. It did hit number one bestseller, I believe. And we're so excited about that. So congratulations, Victoria, on that. And make sure that you go check her out. Support this amazing woman. We are so happy she's a part of our Diva family. And I'm so looking forward to having more conversations, because I think that's exactly what we need on this program here. So please make sure you share this with your friends and family. And also make sure to do something kind today. It is so important. So until next time, everyone.
Thanks for listening. This show was brought to you by Divas That Care. Connect with us on Facebook, on Instagram, and of course on divasthatcare.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter so you don't miss a thing.